Hey, you guys, we'd like to welcome you all out to the journey.
No, I wasn't ready for this. That's not how I do it.
I'm not you.
I know, but...
You told me to start.
I know, but I think I was waiting for more of the, well, welcome to the Journey Together
that,
podcast.
I'm not you.
I know, but how are you starting that?
Hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys.
It's a conversation.
Okay.
I feel like, I think we've already begun.
I don't think so.
I think we have.
No.
All right. Josh asked me to start this podcast, and I just did.
But it just is not.
But it wasn't you.
I thought you were going to say, well, welcome to the Journey Together podcast with Joshua and Anna Gresham.
Josh, I'm a girl. I am a girl.
All right. Do it again. Just for fun. Let's hear it. How you're going to say it. Go.
Hey, you guys. Welcome to the Journey Together podcast.
Hey, what's going on? See, that was great.
Seriously? That's what I did the first time.
All right. Hey, for real. Welcome to the Journey Together podcast with Joshua and Anna Gresham.
I'm the one doing it.
I was doing it too. I was just adding to it.
You guys, today we're talking about 5 R's to strengthen your marriage. We've had a pretty full month this past, the last 3 months have been very full.
The last 18 years of our lives have been very full. I don't know what planet you're on, but.
Oh my goodness. You know, whenever we walk through these podcasts and we talk about it together, sometimes just even getting here is a win. I feel like sitting at this table today is a win for us. Wherever you're at, celebrate whatever win you can and enjoy it, because that is valuable, right?
Yes.
That is extremely valuable.
Yeah.
And we're enjoying being a part of your marriage, your family, whomever is watching, of your life getting stronger in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about 5 R's to strengthen your marriage. You go, what does that even mean? We have 5 different words that begin with the letter R.
Yes.
Do you remember Sesame Street, letter of the day?
Yes. I loved it when Count did it. Didn't Count do it?
I think he counted.
He did
the
numbers. But that's where I remember him doing it.
I don't know. Either way, the letter of the day is the letter R.
R.
And we are going to find ourselves also, if you are actually watching and listening, you've got your Bible, or if you want to write these scriptures down, we really want you to head to Psalm 51 this week. And this is a psalm of King David, where it's really a psalm of repentance and restoration. It's beautiful. And a lot of what we're talking about today is going to come from Psalm 51. And you find that in correlation with 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, where we see the story of David, Bathsheba, and Uriah, and then also the prophet Nathan and his parable, David's confession. It all goes hand in hand. And Josh, I got to ask you, how often do you feel like we're walking through marriage and we're feeling weak because we've yet to come to a place where we know that we got some things to take care of?
So what's the question exactly?
Like, how often do you think this happens where you're almost just going, you're so busy, you're going through life, and then before you know it, you're in a place with your marriage or your family where you're like, I do not feel strong. We've got some underlying things here, but you've yet to really deal with what needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it's all the time. We're always so consumed with so many activities, our children, our own lives, period, our work environments. So you're torn back and forth all the way. So to try to find the pause in the moment and find, I mean, when I say pause, like a break, a good long break, that's difficult. It's really difficult.
So this is being intentional of recognizing, and that is our first R word, by the way. Our first step
is recognize.
God, I need you. Examine my heart. You know, Holy Spirit, show me what needs to be done here. Whenever you read about David, Bathsheba, and Uriah, David was clearly in lust, all right? This is a story of adultery. We know many of you that are even listening right now, you have gone through a story of adultery, and you think, how in the world can God restore this? I pray that today's message strengthens you. Whenever I began to read through this in 2 Samuel, and through this entire part of Psalm 51, Nathan comes in, the prophet Nathan in 2 Samuel, and he tells this parable. And when he tells this parable to David, David's already committed adultery, and he's telling King David this parable to give him an example of what's going on here. And David gets really upset about the parable of like, who did this? I'm going to essentially kill him type of a thought process. And the parables, we don't have time to go into it today, but it's a rich man taking from a poor man, essentially, is what it looks like. And the prophet Nathan said to David, because David goes, who's this man? And the prophet Nathan said, you are the man. You are. So up to this point, even though David committed adultery, even though he had Uriah on the front line to be killed, it wasn't until the prophet Nathan comes in and says, you are the man, did he recognize, oh, I'm in sin. Have you found yourself in a position where you have been in compromise and you yourself have been having thoughts that are not godly or holy, right? I mean, let's walk through this. And I don't know, either you and I, we're looking at people going, you are that person.
Yeah, but the issue is, and this is where we've all fallen victim to this at times, you are not aware of it. And you to be able to recognize it. And unfortunately, it's a smack in the face where then you become aware of it.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, obviously, you're listening to this, and maybe you are aware of it. You're recognizing, okay, something's got to change because I want to strengthen my marriage. You saw it. You clicked this. You thought, I want to listen to this podcast to strengthen my marriage. And then you start identifying the fact there's, you know, maybe your spouse in your life is not aware or recognizing some of the pain or heartache that they're causing. And that's difficult because you've got to wake them up. David was completely ignorant.
He had a blind. I don't want to say he's ignorant.
He was ignorant, though, to the point of what he did.
He allowed a blinder of lust to come in.
Sure. But it was ignorance. I mean, it was an ignorance.
It's sin.
Right. And this is where he needed someone that he could receive from. And obviously, he did it in the perfect manner of, hey, let me give you a scenario and wake them up. How do we do that with our spouses?
You know, you're going to first, you begin praying. Mm-hmm. You go to the Lord in prayer and intercede on their behalf. God, show them, open their eyes. You rebuke blinders in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And you start to pray, Lord, send other people to minister to them. Mm-hmm. Send ministering angels to minister to them. You need to go before God and really cry out for your spouse, right?
Yeah.
And I appreciate the prophet Nathan. You know, he had a mandate from the Lord, but he addressed the situation.
Yeah, I think in circumstances like this, it's where it's difficult. And we all know hierarchy. When it's peer-to-peer, it's difficult to correct someone peer-to-peer because they're at the same eye level to you. So technically, you and I are no longer two but one, and therefore we're peer-to-peer. We are right to influence one another, and it's hard to receive correction from a parallel relationship.
Yeah.
So my encouragement is that by the process of one-to-one relationship here, this parallel, the most successful way to bring an awareness to someone is by influence, and you influence them to see their errors. The error of their way. Nathan obviously was able to do it both ways because him being the prophet, he was able to come in and give instruction through God, but then also he gave him an influential style of story of, hey, I know what relates to you. So I wouldn't come in with such a corrective manner of having them recognize the error of their ways, but come in through an influence of encouraging them to see and not be just so wag the finger at them.
Have you recognized that you're feeling this way? Have you recognized that your attitude is like this? Hey, I can tell that there's something going on. You're not acting your normal self.
Right.
Right? You begin to talk it out. And I believe that's why Nathan had wisdom, the prophet Nathan, to use a parable.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. So pray for a creative way to make well, I'm praying that you are out of the stage. You're already recognizing things, but maybe if you're dealing with a spouse that isn't, pray for that way to influence and to bring them out of it.
That's in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7, whenever Nathan said to David, "You're the man." And then in verse 13 of 2 Samuel 12, so David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And I want to say, when we recognize, I've got two words here for the next two R words. I added that into yours because
I saw it.
I know.
Which is the same. It is.
Yeah. It's the same. It goes hand in hand.
So it's five R's, but with a little bit of another
R. These two go hand in hand.
Yep.
Because there's, when you recognize that, you then have a response before the Lord.
So recognize, response, but with response, there's a subcategory R, which is repent.
Yeah, I asked myself the question, this is personal, you guys. For David, King David, it had to become personal with him.
Mm-hmm.
And even Nathan looking at him saying, "You're the man," that's personal. What is your response when you recognize there's an area in your life, in your marriage or in your home that you want God to restore, but yet you've been a part of the problem, right?
Yeah.
We all have a response. And is that response right now a place of repentance?
Yeah.
The definition of repentance is the act of changing one's mind. It's a complete change. I'll give you another R word that goes with this. We'll just have three R words on this line. It's a complete change and a redirection for the future. Maybe you felt that you've just been stuck in this spiral of defeat or despair, and the Lord wants to redirect you, but you're first going to have to go and say, "God, forgive me." Get into the Word and renew your mind to the Word. You need to have a mindset change. You have the mind of Christ to go, "I don't need to have this attitude anymore. I don't want to think lustful thoughts about other people," or I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe you're angry all the time. You got strife in your house. And you've got to respond when you recognize that there needs to be a change.
Mm-hmm.
And repentance, times of refreshing come from repentance.
Yeah.
I had a moment this past week where I recognized, "Lord, I've got some things here that I just want to make sure that I have a good attitude with you." Women, if you deal with hormonal fluctuations, you just need help. And I was like, "Lord, I'm sorry if I've allowed just life to cause attitude changes that are not beneficial." And I repented, and then I talked to you about it because I want accountability. I want my response. I don't want, if we're having a disagreement, that I want to stay on the couch and not go upstairs to bed. I don't want that attitude.
Right. Yeah.
I want to respond according to the Word of God and work through hard things and strengthen our marriage.
Proverbs warns us of this time and time again, of our response of things, whether it's wise or foolish. And is it going to bring love, or is it going to bring pain and hurt and suffering? And we need to be more aware of this. If what is rooted inside of us is tipping the scales towards the anger, bitterness, and all those, that's where we have to stop and say, "I cannot respond this way." You have to be wise enough to not do it. That's why God said to Cain, "Sin is creeping at your door, and you have a choice to resist against that sin."
Okay. That goes into a little hashtag with response. Why are you resistant to a response of repentance, or to a response of asking God for help, to a response of a confession where you are going before the Lord and talking to Him about your life? Because resistance, one, we're called to resist sin, not resist God. We're called to resist Satan, mm-hmm. not to resist God. So I put a little list here of why are you resistant? You've already recognized, you're now responding, you're coming to that place. Why are you resistant? Is it pride?
Sure.
Selfishness? I actually looked up the word selfish in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you guys that definition right now. Selfish is concerned excessively or exclusively with oneself, seeking one's own advantage, pleasure, or well-being without regard to others. Mm-hmm. Are you resistant to respond to God because you are selfish?
Sure. I think the natural instinct of humans, the sin-like nature, is always to go towards that type of reaction or action of selfishness, pride. No one's willing to fall on the sword.
Is it a sin? Is it a sin? Is pride a sin?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we die to self every day for a reason?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's for the good of the other that you sit here and you examine yourself, that you realize, hey, I can't be the one that always has to be right or whatever the case may be. So that pride, but it is the natural instinct of humans to want to defend and to be like, nuh-uh, not me, not, you know, not I, and to respond correctly is so important. So this then, but opening yourself up to respond in the correct way gives yourself the position to receive. So the third R.
Wait, I've got more list of the resistance. Unforgiveness. We got to talk about it.
Sure.
You've drawn away from God's presence. Are you resisting because in this time, rather than running to God, you stop going to church? Mm-hmm. You stop serving?
There's so many indications.
Okay. Are you in rebellion? These are also lists that you could walk through with your kids.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a great list. Why are your children? Yeah, this is strengthening your family. Why are your children acting this way? Are they dealing with pride, selfishness, unforgiveness? Have they drawn away, rebellion? You say, well, why do I need to know this? Because then you know what to stand against in prayer. You know your response in prayer. Or you personally know what to repent for. You know what to renew your mind according to the word of God with. You're going to get in and combat this pride, combat the selfishness with scripture, which is this is the sword of the spirit. You're going to combat that with scripture dealing with those specific areas of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what that looks like. We then renew our mind, which is another great R word that we're putting in here, which then opens us up to, yes, receive.
Yeah, you want the best. So in order to get the best, you got to get all the bad stuff out. So you have to respond, repent, to get out all of those things so that you can receive and make room for it. We are human containers. And that's why there's too often the time of, and that's what you started off with by saying, recognize the fact that you're full. Recognize the fact that you're full of so much stuff that you can't allow anything else to come in. And by responding correctly and repenting of those things and setting time apart, you are opening yourself up to receive, and it's the good stuff.
I love in Psalm 51, it starts off and it says, this is David, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stains of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt, purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. Word recognize. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. He's walking through everything we're talking about right now. Whenever you read this, I think it's in the New King James Version, but the way that it reads is multitude of God's tender mercies. King David was receiving a multitude of God's tender mercies. Even the prophet Nathan was like, hey, God can't bless you in this sin.
No.
Okay. So God's tender mercies are new, multitudes for everything that we need, you guys. Multitudes. Like, that really blessed me. And what I love is that it's only through God, it's but God, and he's the one who comes in and as he washes us and cleanses us, and what we receive from him is just so beautiful.
Right. In the human side of this, in your marriage, you know for a fact that if you are in opposition with one another, then receiving something from someone that you're in opposition with is, it goes two ways. It could be the thing that draws you together, or it could be the thing that you're just like, I don't want any of this, because you have not recognized the problem, you have not responded and repented, and therefore receiving something from you is really hard.
Yeah, that's good.
And the other flip of it is like, you are the one that you haven't recognized, and then when someone comes to give you something, like your spouse is going to give you something, but you're like, I don't know what this is for, then you're somewhat aloof. You're like, I don't understand. Like, why would you want to do this? But what you're doing is, if it's the spouse that is wanting to love their spouse through it, through the difficulty, through the hardship, they're not recognizing, and you came to me and you brought me something, you're giving me something, whether it be something loving, you know, it's a gift or something, a touch, you're just wanting to love on me. You are doing exactly what the Word of God says by taking the love of God and heaping hot burning coals on top of someone. So therefore, then I'm sitting here going, I don't understand. Like, why would you want to do this? Why would you want to give me those things? So it's a good thing. It's a good answer. But just know there's two sides to it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Who's receiving and who's giving. But the receiving side of this, you have got to make yourself in a position that you are ready to receive. And when you do, it's just like the best gift you can receive.
And freely we receive, freely we give. That's essentially correct. What you're talking. The Lord, your response then, that all flows together, is God's going to say, hey, get your hind end off the couch and go love on your spouse,
right.
You know, or whatever it might be.
So that leads into the fourth R, even though I know that you're going to move this R to a certain direction. But I want to say, if you're able to receive, then you're getting the good stuff. Then you've positioned yourself to release. Now, I know there's two different definitions to the release, but I'm looking at the receiving those things of God, because we are containers, but we're vessels for the things of God to turn it around and be a blessing to others. So I'm releasing the good things that God has blessed me with, and I'm a continual flow of that. And that's my definition of release, but I know that it's also a different perspective.
Okay, so because David experienced this sin and what he went through, we see in 2 Samuel, we see tragedy and consequences, and it's hard. Okay, this is loss. During this time with David's son, with Bathsheba, he passes away. When the prophet Nathan is telling him what's going to take place, David begins to fast and pray, and the son passes. And then he has a moment where the word talks about how he gets dressed and he essentially cleans himself up, and what he chose to do. He chose to release the pain, the shame, and the disappointment of everything that he had faced. And often we go through challenging things, discussions, argument, I don't know, whatever it is you're facing in your marriage or your home, and you begin to walk through this, and there still have been some consequences that you've had to walk through. At some point, you're going to have to put that behind you and release that unto the Lord. There's no shame, condemnation, or guilt in Christ Jesus. And David said, all right, I'm moving forward, knowing that the Lord restores. And his act of faith going into that, he and his wife come together, and then the Lord blesses them with Solomon, who we are all familiar with.
Yeah.
And whenever you read in Psalm 51, verse 10, one of my favorite scriptures, I quote it often to myself, create in me a clean heart, or rather I pray it unto God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal or a right spirit within me. Then he goes on to say, do not banish me from your presence and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. There's a restoration of salvation, of joy. What does that mean when we go from releasing to then our final word of restoration? Restoration is so full here in the rest of Psalm 51, because we see that God restored him to whiter than snow, okay, which is that salvation. Then there's a joy of salvation, where that joy means God had more for David. He mm-hmm. wanted to use David, and because David even goes in Psalm 51 and is like, God, I want to be able to teach others, but I can't do it from a place of sin. Mm-hmm. I have to do it from a place of restoration. You can't disciple someone from a place of sin. You can only disciple them from a place of being restored in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Knowing you're an instrument, you pray this every Sunday at Trailhead Church, you're an instrument for noble purpose. So whenever in verse 10, that word create, of creating me a clean heart, it's the word bara. It's a verb in the Hebrew. It's what God alone can do. Only God can restore. Okay? And it's supernatural. He's the master restorer. And there's joy from being rescued by God. It's another R word. I got lots of.
So many R words.
I know.
Words.
I hope you count them. So there's restoration. Then you begin to walk out as a disciple of Christ. And then God's restoring. If you continue towards the end of this chapter, it says in verse 18, look with favor on Zion and help her, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. That's restoration of favor to your kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, this is a completed work in your family of restoration whenever you follow through and allow God to just wash you thoroughly. And, you know, I put in here, I do want to say this. I put three things that God washes me thoroughly from crossing a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Have you crossed a boundary in your marriage that you should not have crossed? Of a twistedness or a perversion, okay? Or sin, missing a mark.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to know what's exactly being restored here, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I think, you know, for many of us, it's so, we've made it overcomplicated, but God gives such a great layout of a plan. It's breaking through the flesh process of admitting and then saying, I'm going to take ownership and do something about it.
Yeah.
I'm so big on the taking responsibility. When I'm glad you mentioned the instruments for noble purpose. I harp on it quite a bit at our own church, and I've been praying it for over a decade now. I pray it every Sunday morning, Lord, make us instruments for noble purpose. I think about nobility, and I think about the responsibility that comes with that position, yeah. And I want our church to be instruments for noble purpose, that they're used for the best of the best, and they're prepared for the great banquet. I mean, that's what I'm thinking in my head. And I want the full restoration of what God has. When people are instruments for noble purpose, they're willing to walk through this process easier, dying to flesh and presenting themselves as a holy instrument for the kingdom of God. And I want that more than anything. So nothing is holding on to them. They're owning it. They're taking responsibility. They know what they're supposed to do. That's what an instrument noble purpose is. They know their role. And I think in our marriages, we blame shift. We push things off. We give excuses, justifications. And it's not, you can't continue a relationship where you're full of justifications and blame shifting.
No, you can't. In verses 16 and 17 of Psalm 51, it talks about having a broken spirit and a contrite heart. What is that? That's the opposite of a stony heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying that, God, you've given me a heart of flesh. God, you're the most important person. You're the most important everything in my life.
Yeah.
And maybe you need to come to that place of just brokenness before the Lord, or you've got some hard places in your heart, some things that you just know. I'm checking my heart all the time, you guys. I mean, we've been married 20 years this upcoming June. We work together. We're in full-time ministry together here at Trailhead Church. We've got four children. I want to have a strong marriage. I want to have a strong ministry and a strong family. And I know that it first starts with my relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I put in my notes, for me, God's restoration in my life can and will be a testimony of Jesus to others so that they too might be restored.
Yeah.
What God's going to do in your life through this, that he's restored something that only he can do. If you've gone through infidelity or challenging seasons, whatever that might look like, let that be a testimony of Jesus to someone else, mm-hmm. of his faithfulness.
Yeah. You know, if you didn't write these down, I'm going to have them listed on our website, thejourneytogether.com. You're going to see these R's. And when you place these R's through the filter of the Bible, then you can't go wrong. And it's important that you do this, not through the eyes of flesh and the world's perspective of it, because a lot of times, I mean, you can get a salad bar of religion involved in these R's. But if you take these R's and apply them to the Bible, There's so many different ways. It's all good. It all leads to the same outcome, and that's your relationship with the Father and then your relationship with your spouse, or if you apply this to your family or your relationship with your family. But it's important that you take these R's, you discover what that looks like in the Bible, and it all leads to a position of being an instrument for noble purpose.
The word relationship also begins with...
Hilarious. All the
letter
R's.
I've loved it.
Yeah.
Hey, we hope this has strengthened. I believe it has and encouraged you. Make sure you head to the website. If this has been a blessing, pass it on to a friend. You can also follow us on all platforms on the YouTube as well. You can watch us and we enjoy being with you guys.
If you've been listening, and maybe that's easier.
Facebook. We're on the Facebook and the Gram.
We're everywhere. Whatever. Yeah. But share it again. Our mission is to get this out for people, to not just be more noise, but to actually bring in the truth of the word and how our own personal relationship with this, because obviously we're still a work in progress and we are still becoming instruments for noble purpose. And that is what it's all about.
Yes. So, we love you guys.
Yeah. Have a good week. We'll see you guys soon.